good evening and welcome to The Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan, and joining me in studio tonight, I have Ona Brin, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and party spokesperson on housing, planning and local government. Nasa Horrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central and party spokesperson on finance and chair of the party's policy council. Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Fine Gael and party spokesperson on housing, planning and local government. Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary. Orla Hegarty, assistant professor at UCD School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy, and Hugh Brennan, founder and CEO of O'Coolan Co-Housing Alliance. Now, we want to hear from you, so do get in touch. You can text us on 51551. You can email latedebate at rte.ie or tweet to at latedebate, RTE, hashtag RTELD. Now, I want to get stuck into our debate on solutions to the housing crisis in a moment. But first, I just want to briefly catch up with developments on the political front today. And I'm joined on the line now by Christine Finn of thejournal.ie. Christina, it's
good evening.
The 33rd Dáil is meeting tomorrow, and we have two nominations for the position of Ciarán Cóirla.
We do indeed. That's mainly going to be the only election we're going to see tomorrow, is either Sean Farrell as Ciarán Cóirla or Dennis Nocton, who has also put his name into the mix. That announcement came after 6 p.m. today when nominations closed. The speculation is that Sean O'Farrell will clinch it, because the Healy Rays have indicated that they might back him in the vote tomorrow, and at the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting, he was backed unanimously by the party. So I think it's sort of interesting. There's been a few names in the mix in the last week. Catherine Murphy, who decided that she wouldn't go for it. We've had others like Frank Fain going for it. But it looks like Sean might get it again as a return. He's been in there for the last Dáil. So that will actually bring the Fianna Fáil seats there down to 37 if he is elected.
OK. And who was talking to who today, Christina?
Yeah, well, the talks continue, I suppose, at a glacial pace at this stage. Sinn Féin very much continuing their talks with some of the smaller parties. Sinn Féin most notably, I suppose, met with the Healy Rays, Michael and Danny today. And we got kind of a good insight into the sort of talks that were taking place there, probably more so than we have with other smaller parties. So Michael Healy Ray said they wanted to basically know how Sinn Féin were going to fund some of their election commitments, where the money was going to come from, and saying things like there's no free lunch. And they basically had a lot of questions about how these things were going to be delivered. They said they'd meet them again, but they still had a lot more questions to ask. So I suppose that's the sort of narrative that has been ongoing throughout all these talks with Sinn Féin, is whether that manifesto can materialise into actual deliverable things that were promised to people.
And Fianna Fáil has put together its negotiating team?
Yeah, Micheál Martin took to Twitter today to say that he would be announcing that later this evening, and then he did announce that he had a six-strong negotiating team with the likes of Dara Bryan there, Thomas Byrne on it. I suppose some people were questioning why Jim O'Callaghan was not mentioned in that team. You know, he's a notable figure within the party, and he was quite up front and centre, if people cast their mind back to the talks in 2016. So make what will of that.
Well, why don't we ask Dara O'Brien, who is on the negotiating team, and he's sitting beside me here in studio. Any reason why the team was picked as was? Because Stephen Donnelly as well, who you would imagine might have thought he'd be on that team.
Well, the negotiation team is to act, firstly to negotiate with other parties and then to liaise with the parliamentary party. So the whole party is going to be involved. And I would imagine that different modules within it, and if there are things on health and justice that you've just mentioned, Stephen and Jim, that they will come in on those particular parts of it. So I don't think you can read, or anyone should read anything into it. This is the initial team that that Micheál has put together.
I'm sure people are thinking these must be the five that are tips for the cabinet if this comes
off. Well,
there's
six, right?
Are six?
No, I don't think so. Look, this we're at the very beginning of what will probably be a very long, arduous and complicated process. I think what we want to do is to enter into those talks with other parties in a constructive way to try to put together a real alternative, a government that's stable and that will deliver on the urgent issues like we're going to talk about this evening on housing. But I wouldn't read too much into the personalities. That's been genuinely, I think, other colleagues will input into the process.
And just to be clear, you're still not going to talk to Sinn Féin?
No, we've actually, my party leader has spoken to Mary Lou MacDonald earlier in
but
the week.
We're not going to negotiate with you.
Yeah, we've said that pretty clearly. Yeah.
Okay, and finally, before I let you go, Christina, those tweets by Rita Cronin, Piers Doherty came under some pressure in relation to those I saw at the news conference today.
Yeah, he was questioned quite rigorously by reporters today in relation to those comments. He said that she had apologised and withdrawn them, and really Sinn Féin's focus was on bringing about a government of change. But I suppose Sinn Féin members in the past have faced suspension for such comments that they've made on Twitter, and the question was there going to be any consequences for Cronin about that? I suppose the bigger question is, perhaps for all parties, is these stories continue to emerge. We had Rona Murphy, Lorraine Clifford Lee. People's Twitter, what they said in the past, continues to be something that trips, it seems, all parties up at some stage. And Sinn Féin did say they had protocols and guidelines for their social media, for councillors and for TDs, but whether any politician is actually adhering to them, I doubt this will probably be the last story we'll hear.
Okay. Christina Finn, thank you for that update on political developments. And just before we get on to the housing thing, Owen, I have to ask you about that, because when the by-election was underway and all those tweets became an issue with Verona Murphy's statements, and then there was Lorraine Clifford Lee's tweets, and Sinn Féin were very vocal on that, and Louise O'Reilly saying that both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil should look at the comments of their candidates, and if they reflect the values of the party, back them, and if not, sack them. So what sauce for the goose?
Sure, although we never called for the suspension of or disciplinary action against others. That's a matter for each party.
Sorry, back them, or if not, sack them.
Sure, but all I'm saying is we didn't call for or interfere in the disciplinary process of other parties. Some of the comments Rita made, and a lot of them are comments that I think are really foolish or advised. Some of them, they were made in 2012 before she was even a member of the party. Some of them they made when she was a member of the party and elected representative. I think she's done the right thing. She's apologised. The crucial thing is the party has clear policy in all these areas. She stood in a general election on that policy. She adhered to that. And I think clearly if future comments of that were made while she's a sitting TD, that would be a different matter. But I'm happy enough to accept her apology.
So we have an amnesty. Is there an amnesty for all previous tweeting activity now?
Look, I think particularly you're talking about 5, 6 and 7 years ago and at a very early stage in the woman's career. She's apologised. She's done the right thing. She did it straight away. And that's good enough for me.
You must be demented going back over people's Twitter.
I have enough problems handling my own social media accounts.
And not only yourself,
anybody else.
As you say, you're not the only party that found themselves in that difficulty. Anyway, let's move on, because we have assembled a panel of probably some of the most expert people in the country on the biggest crisis that we're dealing with. So let's get stuck into it. And I want to begin with that story that came out today, those statistics from the Eurofound EU agency. An 11-point increase in the number of young people aged between 25 and 29 living at home with their parents, as opposed to a 2-point increase across the EU. And that we now have 47.2% of that age cohort in that scenario, stuck, not able to move on. I'll go to you, Owen, because it appears that a lot of these people were the people who voted for Sinn Féin.
Yeah, so certainly the exit polls suggest that a significant number of them did. And look, I think any of us who campaigned in the election met lots of these young people. We were canvassing their parents' houses and they came down the stairs to express their deep dissatisfaction.
Are they going to be your priority? If you get into the customs house, you get your feet under the table, what will be your priority in terms of the bits? Because there's a lot of moving parts in this.
So particularly for that younger section of the population for whom renting is the key thing at this moment in their life, we have to do two things. We have to reduce rents and freeze them, and we have to substantially invest in a stream of affordable cost rental accommodation. And that means apartments in Dublin to rent at less than 900 euros a month. That has to be done as a matter of urgency. Now, clearly, as those young people get older, many of them will want to buy, and we have to ensure that there's a good stream of affordable purchase accommodation. I'm actually a little bit optimistic at the minute. I mean, leave the government negotiations aside. I think finally the political process has caught up with the level of need that's out there. And notwithstanding the fact that Dara won't speak to me about government formation.
He didn't actually want to speak to us last week, though, and carry on.
There's a degree of consensus, and I think part of it is because of the very good work that people like Orla and Hugh and others have done in terms of what is needed, in terms of the scale of intervention. But unless we start to have tens of thousands of affordable homes to rent and buy delivered annually, and unless we freeze and reduce rents, those young people aren't going to have their needs addressed.
Okay, freeze and reduce rents, yeah, Gary O'Brien.
There's a big issue, and it's not just the rental market. That's a massive issue, and I met a lot of those people as well on the doors in Dublin Fingal, people who are living with their folks.
Now, yeah, and if I could just ask you to focus on the rental issue, and we will move through the various issues.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying
this,
to,
yeah,
just trying to, yeah, answer you. You put a question to me, so if you just let me. I think supply on both sides and affordable rents absolutely is what needed. An affordable rental model, which was announced by two governments ago in 2015, not one affordable rental unit delivered. What Fianna Fáil firmly believe in, and one thing I've been putting front and centre, is the whole area of home ownership as well, and affordable housing, and actually allowing people to own their own home. A lot of those people that I've spoken to and that others have spoken to, living with their moms and dads into their 30s, actually are trying to save to be able to buy their own home, and they want that. That's why we proposed and we pushed to bring back the affordable purchase scheme.
Okay,
and
we'll have a whole section of this discussion on affordable housing. But in terms of people who are renting, people will always be renting.
Okay.
There will always be people in the private sector.
Not to the degree. I don't think a lot of the people who are renting want to rent. That's the first thing. A lot of them are stuck in rental and they're paying over 50% of the net take-home pay in rent. So we would have brought forward, and if we're in government, a rental tax credit. Absolutely. That would be something. But it's supply of...
Is that similar to what O'Brien was saying about giving people back a month's rent
Similar, but less, because it's realistic, because our housing plan is actually fully costed. And
how much would you be giving people back?
About 600. What we did... Sorry, can I just conclude? Because I think it's important.
I do want to give people an idea of what each
Because on the purchase side, what we find in most surveys is people do want to purchase. Now, if you look at one aspect that's actually helped people do that, which is the Help to Buy grant, which Sinn Féin wanted to get rid of and would get rid of in their manifesto, 6,000 people last year availed of that to help to get their deposit. Now, that's not ideal, but it was
Did we not find that the data in relation to that a lot of people already had their deposit? Right.
No, actually, a lot of people didn't as well. And sorry, a lot of people didn't.
As well, but...
No, but a lot of... No, sorry, but...
Maybe, Orla, are you familiar with the figures around
that? It was the only intervention actually that the last government made that in some real way was having some assistance. But affordable purchase and building on state-owned land to allow people to own their own home at a reduced rate of up to 230,000, like the O'Coolan model that Hugh will talk about, should be done right across the country. And by the way, it was done before and can be done.
Okay.
Because it's not
okay,
just
Dara.
Actually, the last thing I would
just,
say,
because
the amount of people that have gone into the rental market now, we're looking at like over a fifth of the adult population. A lot of them don't want to be there. They want to be able to own their own home.
Okay, but if I am there right now, I'm renting right now, I'm facing the type of rents that we all know people are paying now, not just in the cities now, everywhere. What are you saying to those people? What will Fianna Fáil in government, what will they do for those immediately right now?
Immediately we'd bring in an emergency budget on housing firstly, and we've said that we would do that, and we would take emergency measures to roll out the schemes that I've been talking about, to bring forward a renter's tax credit, to look at trying to put money back in renters' pockets.
600 euro tax credit for renters.
We've an issue as well with a lot of the renters.
But you wouldn't, you've
rent
absolutely
freeze.
Set your face well, against
Katie,
the rent
I was on this show before the election, and we keep asking me the question. I'm going to keep giving you the same answer, because we will only propose things that are actually doable.
The reason I'm asking you that, Dara O'Brien, is because we had John Lahart sitting in that chair that you were here last night, and he said, we have heard the message loud and clear in relation to radical proposals needed in relation to housing in particular.
Sure.
We do need to go further than we did in our manifesto, and there's an acknowledgement of that. He was talking about the discussions at your parliamentary party meeting. There's a general acceptance we need to be more radical. So I'm just
absolutely
asking,
and actually a lot of
how much further are you going
now? A lot of what's in our manifesto is actually radical but is doable, and obviously with whatever other partners we end up with, if we end up in government, we would obviously take an approach there. But what people want to see is delivery.
Okay.
And what the frustration was about all the discussions around what would happen that didn't. People actually want to see things that will make a difference to their lives, like affordable purchase, like affordable rent.
Will you all make the land available? That's the hold up at the moment.
Yeah.
That if you don't make the land available, we can't build. we're a small organisation. We certainly can't do it all around the country, but work with us,
yes,
and the model can be replicated.
Absolutely.
and scaled. And we have proof of concept.
I've been out there with you.
I know you have out in Ballymun. Yeah. But I mean, I need to hear it from politicians that the land will be made available. We have plenty of public land, either in the ownership of local authorities or in the ownership of state bodies, and if the political party will say yes, we
will
make
the land available. Well, I'd be very direct with you, Hugh. Yeah. We would, and I've continually said that we should use state-owned land that's serviced and zoned enough. And Orla's done work on this as well to build around 114,000 units. That's what we own. The state are the biggest land hoarder, so we need to utilise the land that we have.
Okay. Nasa, you are being quoted by both parties here at the other side of the table. From what you've heard there from Bun, and of course you're very familiar with the housing policies from Bun, what's impressing you here?
What's impressing me? Well, to be honest with you, I couldn't disagree more with Dara on the answer to rental and the rent crisis being the promotion of home ownership. I just fundamentally disagree with that. I don't think that using state money, and we do have a limited fiscal space, so we have about 11 billion to work with over the next 10 years. We know 5 billion of that's going to be spent on Sláinte Care, allegedly. So you know, there is a certain amount of funds, and we believe that should be spent on cost rental. And in terms of the rental market in general, I do agree actually that people don't want to rent right now, but that's not because rental can't be an attractive version of living. If we look at Germany, most people live in the rental market there, but they have forever leases. You know, that they have security. They can make adaptions to their homes. They can have a livable rent. So we think that a rental freeze is viable.
So you would support the rental freeze idea?
Yeah, we have said that numerous times, and it's a temporary measure. I think
tax credits for renters. I'm struck by the fact. Do you believe that we are now in this? We have come to this place where people are paying these rents, which are generally agreed unsustainable.
Yes.
Is there a way back from where we are? Is this the baseline now, and the most we can hope for is to hold on? And I'll let you in one second.
No, look, I think there's two aspects to this. There's the affordability side and there is the supply side. I think where we differ is that we feel that where there is limited state funds, they should be put into the cost rental model, the provision of public housing for everybody on as much state land as possible.
Which is what you recommend, because you're moving towards the cost rental model
indeed. Yeah. But I want to make the point as well that affordable purchase is actually cost neutral. It doesn't cost the state anything. I mean, Owen has said this, and we know this. Owen wants to put in 50,000 per unit, but that goes straight back to the state. Yeah. As soon as you sell the house, it goes straight back. Right. Cost rental makes a contribution to the exchequer over time, especially if
a combination of both.
Yeah, but because if local authorities are involved, they can hold on to the properties, or if it's approved housing bodies that are involved, they hold on to the properties, and then when the loans are paid back after 25 years, you have a very valuable asset that can then be used to build more.
To be fair, I heard Eamon Ryan making this case a number of years ago in relation to cost
rental. I mean, this is about, building an asset, building a capacity within the state. We have to hold on to the resources that we have where we can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Richard.
Well, first of all, there are about 100,000 individuals and families who want to rent and they're on housing lists waiting 20 years. So the starting point is to provide them with affordable housing, because where they're currently living in most cases is either crammed in with their parents or their grandparents, or they are in HAPS tenancies. About 70,000 of them are in HAPS tenancies, where the local authorities are paying investment funds 1,800, 2,000 euro a month, wasting state money, filling the coffers of investment funds instead of using that money to build public housing on public land, which would be cheaper, which would save the state money in the long run, and it would take massive pressure off the private rental market, because you have too many people now chasing a small amount of private rented property and being exploited by investment funds and property speculators. But for renters themselves, to directly answer your question, freeze rents, but I would go further. And by the way, stop evictions, at least on a temporary basis until we solve this crisis. People should not be evicted into homelessness to make a bad situation worse. But I'd go further. We should control rents.
The state directly, either through the local authorities or through a rental board, should actually control rents.
Control, you're talking about rents in the private rental sector should be
in
controlled.
In the private rental sector, as is done in many, many European countries, where somebody comes in from the rental authority, from the local authority, and says, you're not charging more than this amount for that property.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that there is a version of that that does work very well in some countries. It's sometimes described as a mirror rent, where the local authority has a kind of a rent regulation guideline. Now, it can only really work if you get rent down to an affordable level. And so we're in crisis point at the moment. I don't think we could, like, rent control is devilishly complex, and I think you would have to take your time.
I imagine potentially, you know, could have catastrophic unintended consequences as well if you get
it
wrong.
But I don't think that that's a reason not to try, because it is worth doing.
Okay, can I go to Orla? A lot of solutions and identification of problems there. In terms of the rental sector, that question, because I think people are in despair out there in terms of. You know, there will always be people, there will always be, not always, but in most cases, there will be a time in people's lives where they will need to rely on private rental accommodation. And it has become, like, so horrifically such a burden on people, like more than half their income going just to keep a roof over their heads. Is this the new normal? Is there any way back from here?
I don't think it can be the new normal. It's not affordable for the state. I mean, the amount of disposable income being taken out of the economy, the lack of choice people have. I mean, even if you think of, you're talking about the people in their 20s living at home, that's going to have an impact on the pensions in 20, 30 years time when we don't have the children being born at the moment. So, you know, these are much bigger issues. I think obviously in the rental sector, it's a housing affordability problem. You know, the problem actually is housing affordability, and it has to start with affordability as the first strategy for absolutely every move. And vacancy could be the quickest way to start dealing with that. We have a lot of vacancy, and that could start and get some supply into the rental market in the short term, probably quicker than new builds. Mm-hmm. A lot of government policy is pursuing, you know, a sort of simplistic approach, which is large blocks, very densely built on site, rushed planning applications, regardless of whether the infrastructure can support it locally or whether it's appropriate. And you have to wonder if we're back where we were 15 years ago, mm-hmm. with every developer in a bit of a gold rush to get to the point first where they can seal the deal and fill the building. And we may end up the ghost estates of the future might be the tower blocks around Dublin in the wrong places.
Particularly the build around ones.
But just on the money side, I mean, I think there's been very little interrogation of how much money is being spent at the moment. Everybody is looking at new plans as above and beyond current expenditure. But the current expenditure is really extreme. I mean, there'll be almost $1 billion gone into the private rental sector this year. Deals are being made at the moment that are in the region of 450, 500, 600,000 being paid for social housing by the state when they could build two for that.
And these are lease deals as well, which are seem on the face of it to be very expensive with no asset left at the end.
The long-term leasing deals are going to cost up to 600,000 for an apartment for social housing over the next 25 years.
And no asset in the states.
Well, no asset at the end, but also what happens to that community at the end when people are in their homes and established? Is the state going to pay for another 25 years? Yeah. Are they going to buy the block they've already paid for? Mm-hmm. Are they going to put all those people into emergency housing? And if that is the strategy across the board with Part 5, 10% as well at the moment, that's building up a problem for 2045 when all of these people will possibly have to be rehoused or a huge amount of money will have to be paid to keep them in their homes.
So, yeah, I see. We've got Jerry and Bray saying, outside Dublin, there are thousands of over-the-shop properties available upgrade. There must be an incentive to do them up and make it tax efficient. I'd revitalise the centre of towns and villages. Have you got something in your policy?
And the problem is it's not just outside of Dublin. It's in every urban centre. Mm-hmm. Go into the centre of Dublin, go down into Dunleary, go into any small or medium-sized rural town. The difficulty is actually the government had a number of schemes that on paper seemed to be good. They had the repair and lease, they had the buy and renew, and they had a rolling fund for the housing agency. The difficulty was local authorities weren't being given the appropriate staff to go out and target the vacants because there's a certain amount of work. Louth County Council was the only local authority which was given additional funding and staff to pilot, and they brought over 40 properties back into active use. These were derelict properties in a relatively short period of time. The difficulty is the rest of the local authorities have to try and manage with the depleted resources that they had in terms of staff and move staff around. So I'm absolutely in agreement with Orla. While we need, certainly in Sinn Féin's view, about 20,000 public homes between social rental, affordable purchase a year, there is far greater restoration of the vacant stock. Some of them are whole houses, whole apartments, etc. But you also need to provide the new stock as well, because if you take the urban centre of Dublin, we do need more apartments. We do need good quality apartments, and Hugh and others in Ocúlán have outlined how to do it. But the crucial thing is they have to be delivered at the right price, because again, and one thing I'll agree with Dara is both Alan Kelly and then Simon Coveney said affordable cost rental was government policy. They're currently building 50. But there'll be €1,200 a month, which is not at the right price range. And in fact, we're hearing St. Michael's Estate, which is a fully public development and has real potential. Because of the way central government is funding it at present, they're looking at rents of 1,300. If it's funded right, 900 to €700 a month can be delivered. But you need central government to step up to the plate and do not only what Hugh was saying is provide the land, but ensure the way the financing is structured allows you to pay down the loans over a longer period of time to make the rents more affordable.
Okay. Just very quickly on that, like we need to build, not buy, as well. And that's been one of the issues the last government have been in.
Do you see the statistics that were released by the Construction Industry Federation today, Darrell? I'll let you go back into it, comment on them. Only about 21,000 homes completed last year. About 8,000 of them were actually brought to market. Yeah. Of the remaining 13,000, over 5,000 were once-off dwellings, generally, obviously, in rural areas built by the owners. A further 4,392 were acquired or leased by the state for social housing. And investment funds bought 95% of the 3,600 apartments completed here last year. 95%!
It's a colossal issue. And the same, if you look at the figures, go back to 2018, you'll see that of the 18,000 units built then, 6,000 were either bought by investors or by the state. But the state needs to build, because the state's competing with people as well who are trying to get their foot on the ladder. We need
more. What's your attitude if you were in that department? What would your attitude to these REITs and these investment funds that seem to have unlimited resource and seem to be obviously betting big on this market staying as lucrative as it is?
And why wouldn't they?
Because of the yields
they're getting. Well, I actually brought forward legislation that passed the Dáil at second stage, I would say, with the support of my colleagues here, that was opposed by Fine Gael, which would actually restrict bulk sales of properties and full estates.
What about the tax treatment?
Absolutely. They have a free ride at the moment on the tax treatment that they're only paying on exit. And that is something that was a strategy and was a policy pursued by Fine Gael and Simon Coveney, actually. And we saw in the property industry report that came out at the time, the work that was done by Queen's University Belfast and others, that it actually showed how that came about. But we can arrest that. And one of the issues is, just to get back to it, is the state building. Now, in the last two budgets, I'd negotiated with the last government to raise what's called the discretionary cap, to let local authorities build themselves for up to 6 million, which would be about 45 to 50 homes. That was reneged on twice. We do need to empower...
Because at the moment, it's 2 million, is it?
2 million, it's mad. Like, you're talking about 8 or 9 houses and everything goes to the customs house, back and forth.
Yeah, I think you'd agree with that order
as well. So we need to empower them to do the job.
I mean, the approval process is taking well over a year. I mean, people talk about procurement and planning and delays and all that.
But is this I'm just wondering now, and seriously, is this within the gift of politicians or are there officials in the department that are...
Owen Murphy...
That with all the best will in the world, is there...
Very clear about this. So there are two government departments involved here. The first is the Department of Housing and the second is the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And while they continually say that public spending code requires this, it simply does not. So if government decided that it wanted to speed up the process by which local authorities and approved housing bodies could get access to land and funding, they could do it, and they could do it tomorrow. But the crucial thing is they would have to set more ambitious targets and they would have to allocate more funding. And the central problem for the last 4 years, whether we like it or not, is the capital allocations was too low, and therefore the targets set for the local authorities, the approved housing bodies, were too low, and the delivery of the units was far, far too slow. This can be resolved, but it takes a Taoiseach, a finance minister and a housing minister to force it to happen.
Okay, Richard, you've been trying to get in there.
Yeah, ultimately it is political, although I do think there's some resistance in some areas of, you know, officialdom as well. But that's all been induced by a doctrine, really, that has been pursued for the last 20, 25 years, not just by Fine Gael and Labour, but also Fianna Fáil before them, and that was effectively to withdraw the state from the provision of housing. That's what happened. And, you know, that reached extreme proportions with NAMA, where we had all this property, vast amounts, more than any, the biggest property company in the world, NAMA was. And then we flogged it all off. And now we're leasing properties back from these people at extortionate prices. It beggars belief. And it hasn't stopped. And it hasn't just been Fine Gael, and I want to stress this, it's still going on at local authority level, where parties, including some of the parties represented here, who are now in control of councils, are going along with schemes which involve the disposing of public land. It's absolutely shocking. It has to stop. Right? Why are we giving away land? And we come up with all sorts of convoluted justifications for it. We need social mix, so-called, whatever that is. It's a very prejudicial concept in my mind, because it implies hierarchies of different categories of people and so on. But it also complicates the problem, because then you have different types of housing have to be built, different streams of funding have to. It becomes all so complicated that nothing actually happens, except maybe some private developers get hold of some public land and make a flipping fortune out of it. So we need to stop the disposal of public land and get back to the direct provision of public and affordable housing, which will be cheaper and quicker.
Okay, a flipping fortune might be a new hashtag maybe. Yeah. I would let you in. I'll let you in then, Orla. Yeah. Like, Hugh, just very quickly, yeah. I know you've done this for us before, but I think it is very helpful to explain your very simple model.
Yeah.
So you get land at cost.
We get land at a heavily reduced cost, yeah. So at the moment with Dublin City Council, we're working closely with Dublin City Council, we're getting land at €1,000 a plot, okay? And they are waiving the development levies. Other councils won't necessarily waive the development levies, and they don't have to. And we don't even have to get the sites at €1,000 a plot. At the moment, we're selling a top quality three-bedroomed A2 rated house in Ballymun for €219,000, including VAT. Okay, if we had to pay another €8,000 or €9,000 per plot, so that the council could get a bit more money, we'd be selling that for €229,000 or €235,000. Still very affordable. One of the big things that's often missed is the developer's margin, and nobody ever knows what the private developer's margin is, okay?
Well, we hear figures like 10-15%.
15%. Yeah.
No, but I don't think so. Not for developers. I honestly don't think so, because you never know what price they got the land for, you know? So you don't know what it is. So what we do is we say we limit our surplus, and we have to have a surplus just to wash our faces, the banks will tell us. So we limit that to 5%. So when you get the land and the waive development levies and you limit
So the waiving of the development levies and how much are you knocking off the basic cost that?
It's around 40,000, okay? Right. And that's only because we put a notional value on the plot of land. I mean, if Mel Reynolds was here, he would tell you that the actual value of that plot of land on the council's books was something like €17,000, okay? But we're saying it's 30,000. And we say it's 30,000 because we do a clawback scheme, okay? And we base the clawback scheme on that, okay? But let's just say it's 30,000, and let's say it's around 10,000 to waive the development levy. That's 40,000, okay? As soon as the house is sold, the state gets 50,000 back in terms of VAT and the PAYE and the
so it's free houses, basically.
That's why it's
This is quite important.
Yeah.
But now I'll let you finish point. Yeah. Okay, so how many houses have you built in using this model?
Yeah, we've 50 occupied, and we're on our second 50 now. Okay, so we will have 100. And I know it's small in terms of the global thing, but
why can't you scale up? Yeah, I know you.
If we have the land, we'll scale up. And that's all we need.
And that's
because
all you
we
need.
Have the capacity to scale, because ours is actually a developer's model. Okay, so we are in fact the developer. You know, local people in Ballymun now call us soft developers or social developers, you know. So we're taking the place.
But there are local authorities now. I know in Fingal, on my own area, you have identified three pieces of land that they want to move for affordable purchase and affordable rental as well. Haven't been able to for the last year, because even though we got the affordable purchase scheme back on the statute books and we pushed hard in Fianna Fáil to do that, government didn't issue the criteria for the scheme.
No,
so it's actually, it's very doable. And I think all of us agree that, you know, just selling off land, you know, to private developers and not to deliver the housing is not the way forward. Yeah. We've actually done it before very well as a state.
But just in fairness to Fingal, they have brought one.
Yes.
And there were a number of parties shortlisted, and we were one of them. And so we have submitted our tender.
Yeah, they haven't launched it yet.
And yeah. they don't need to wait for the government affordable scheme. And when you're in power, guys, I think you're going to have to change that because it's a shared purchase scheme. You see, the government still all they think about is the market value of the house. And then they say an affordable house is market value less 20%.
Yeah.
That's nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, and the person has to pay back.
Yeah.
Okay, so in shared purchase, just to tell people what it is, they'll get a loan from the bank for say 70% of the cost of the house, and they will get the value from the local authority for the other 30%. But they have to pay it back. Yeah. Are they going to pay it back over the life of the loan? If they are, the bank won't give them the loan.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I
just want to let Orla in, and I'll let you back in. Then, Nas, I just got a text in here, Orla. Katie, whoever is the housing minister in the new incoming government, their first act should be to appoint Orla Hegarty as a special advisor. Full stop. As far as go to London Wexford.
Or is Baz out on the Twitter machine again?
Sorry, just on what Hugh was saying. I mean, Hugh's construction costs are borne out by the Department of Housing and every local authority in the country going out to tender to builders in the market. So it's not hiring electricians and plasterers. They're tendering to SME contractors. We badly need to support the SME contractors to get back in the game and to build capacity. And on the issue of public land...
Just in relation to that, isn't there... a basic, you have to have 5 million in the bank basically before you can tender for any of the government projects. And
there are all sorts of rules in procurement that are local practices that are not EU rules. And to go back to the approval system, and the EU public procurement rules around going out now and doing housing, public housing, is a matter of weeks. The time periods are weeks. This 59 weeks is a Department of Housing invention. Mm-hmm. The actual EU rules is a month or 6 weeks. And same with planning. Local authorities can grant planning permission to themselves under a different system where there's a public consultation, and again that could be done in 6 or 8 weeks.
What is your analysis of why? I mean, you hear, you know, the nuts and bolts of it. It actually seems quite straightforward. Why haven't we been working off this model?
I think the policy being pursued under Rebuilding Ireland with all the targets that are in it was effectively, if we tweak a few things, the private sector will kick off. And we'll wind the clock back to 2003, and sure, we got up to 90,000 houses a year within a couple of years of that.
So we just hold tight.
Without looking at the context of 2003, without looking whether that was even healthy, we built a huge amount of defective buildings. We built a lot of ghost estates. The labour market was different. The entire sector was completely different, and it's been decimated and it hasn't been helped to rebuild. But to go back to Richard's point about the public land, the deals being pursued to give away public land or to sell public land are also extremely high risk. They are market dependent solutions, and what's happened in Odevenham, which now looks like the LDA are pursuing, and NAMA in Pool Beg, is a market led model, which basically means that if there isn't a market there for a huge amount of private housing at very high prices, nothing will happen. The delivery of social and affordable is linked to that. And affordable has been redefined not as Hugh talks about the cost of delivering it. It's been redefined as the market price less 20%.
Which is, at the moment,
unaffordable.
Eye-watering.
Eye-watering expensive, but it also means...
Because what were we looking at the Odevenny Gardens development?
For some
in Odevenny Gardens, effectively, the land is being signed over as if it's worth nothing, when in fact it's probably worth between 50 and 70 million. Yeah. That's been written down.
I mean,
And then it's being bought back in the market price of the units that are provided.
Yeah.
And
Mel Reynolds estimates on Odevenny Gardens that the cost of the social housing units that Dublin City Council will get back is €560,000
per unit.
These
are units that are being built on local authority.
And according to Mel, at the end of that process, where 50% of the land is going to be given away to private developers, there will be less council houses on that site than there was originally. Yeah. Right.
And just,
it's unbelievable
just,
stuff.
Just to be clear, because we now have some clarity on this, the social house will be bought at 360, which is still too much. And here's the real worry.
And the discounts on the affordable housing.
The real worry. The Land Development Agency is the real worry. Because
you've done some work on this as well.
This is really important. So The legislation has been
published. So just explain to people, because I think people are very vague about what this land development
agency is. About a year and a half ago, Pascal Donoghue and Owen Murphy launched this thing called the Land Development Agency, and its function was to do two things. One, which is a sensible idea, look at all public land and try and make sure that public land is being used for the most strategic purpose. Very, very sensible. So, for example, if Dublin Bus have land in Dublin city centre that they're using for garages, take it off them, use it for housing or economic opportunities, and give them land out on the edge of the M50 for their garage. The problem is they also want the Land Development Agency to be a residential developer on the model whereby they joint venture with the private sector and 60% of all of the housing on any given site will be at open market prices. The reason they want to do that
is... And is that built into the legislation?
There's no legislation, but be very, very clear. And in fairness, both ourselves, the Greens, Fianna Fáil, People for Profit, Solidarity and Labour were hugely critical of the Heads of Bill when it came in front of the committee, because in the Heads of Bill, they were saying on average it would have to be 60%. It will have to be 60% if you want it off balance sheet, because a majority of the sales have to be at open market prices. And the crazy thing is, if you have it as essentially a private residential developer, it can't have strong compulsory purchase order powers, so it can't do the active land management agency stuff properly, which is what we want. And then what you'll do is you'll take big tracts of land. So the Dundrum Central Mental Hospital is a really, really good example where you could get 800 or 900 houses as well as good quality amenities. 60% of those will be sold at open market prices, when what needs to be happening on those sites, and this can only happen if central government supports it with finances and policy, is that you have really good public housing with a mixture of what we traditionally call social rental, affordable purchase, to meet the housing needs of the people
Just to back up on this, because when the Land Development Agency was announced by Fine Gael as nearly like a silver bullet, we all need a land management agency to manage the state land to make sure it's productive. But this became a massive development agency, and all of us were extremely critical of it, and thankfully no legislation has passed on it. But that needs to be completely revisited, because if we look at what we've done before in our history, well, not everything we've done well, but if we look at previous shared ownership schemes that were there, delivery of public housing, these are things that we've done before that can be done again, and it should not be on the basis of selling off state land. And we've been very clear, Fianna Fáil, on that in our own manifesto and what we've been putting forward.
I think the problem here, though, is just, you know, in terms of a kind of a long view of how we're going to organise this as a state, we still don't really think of housing as basic infrastructure, and that's not unrelated to, you know, the fact that we don't have the right to housing in the constitution. And I think that, you know, part of the problems that we're experiencing in terms of long commutes and badly, you know, I mean, for example, I live in Cabra. It's a 1930s council built estate. They built the church, they built the school, they built the shops at the same time, and everybody moved in. Now up the road is Pelletstown, which has over 10,000 people living in it for 12 years, and they've no school, and that's a privately developed thing. And I think that if we start to recognise that housing is basic infrastructure for a nation, and
but what about this then, where we have a text in here: please ask if any party will legislate for the findings of the Kenny report. This would actually address the housing problem, where stupid ideas like SSIA schemes won't.
This is the point. The LDA.
Will the Greens?
Yeah, we refer to that all the time in our housing policy.
Okay, and I presume you'd be
100%. The LDA was presented as being something like that, when in fact it's actually a vehicle to sell off public land. But what I would do is scrap the LDA, scrap NAMA, and create an agency whose sole remit is to control the building land, control the prices of the building land, and to deliver public and affordable housing as infrastructure, has been said, necessary in a planned way, rather than letting the market and its fluctuations and its drive for profit determine whether or not you get housing and how much it costs.
Okay, just in relation to that, where does Sinn Féin stand on the Kenny report? Well, let's just explain to people
The Kenny report is one of these reports that lots and lots of people talk about, but very few people have actually read. So the idea was local authorities could apply to the courts to designate an area as an area where the local authority could purchase it at the agricultural price of the land plus 25%. Yes.
Right? And the big issue, of course, was that this would be constitutionally abhorrent, because it would interfere with people's property rights.
And there was a minority report at the time, but in fact, a lot of subsequent Supreme Court judgments on property rights have indicated that very clearly a scheme such as that has the potential to work. There are two problems with its implementation today, right? So the spirit of the Kenny report is absolutely right, but if you're going to do it, you have to update it for contemporary times. The first is, when Kenny wrote the report, almost all of the land that he was talking about had only been recently acquired at agricultural prices. So you're actually giving people the money that they paid plus an extra 25%. If you did that today, you'd actually be paying them the open market price plus 25%, which means it's far too much money to give them. That's the first thing. The second thing is, within Dublin, for example, our problem at the minute is not the lack of public land. Mm-hmm. It's either the land that's held by the local authorities hasn't been funded or given to the right bodies, or other state agencies who have public land aren't using it right. So I've absolutely no difficulty with really, really
robust... Would you say we start first with the land we already own?
Management agency. Yeah. But also be very clear, if you simply transpose Kenny into today, you're actually paying the market value plus, and none of us want to do that. Yeah, we want something that's much more effective.
Orla's sorry, we're now going to text asking, calling for Orla to be nominated senator and then perhaps housing minister. Okay.
The extended family are very hard at work tonight, Orla.
Okay, we'll take a break, but we will be back after these.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. We're talking housing and homelessness, and in studio I have Sinn Féin's Eoin Óibrín, Nasa Horrigan of the Green Party, Fianna Fáil's Dara O'Brien, Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit, Orla Hegarty, Assistant Professor at UCD School of Architecture, and Hugh Brennan. Hugh Brennan, founder and CEO of O'Coolan Co-Housing Alliance. I got a massive reaction here on the text. And I'll just give you a few of the comments. If Sinn Féin or Greens go into coalition with Fianna Fáil, how much of their housing policies do they believe they will get implemented, says Kieran in Tralee. I've read a very angry one there during the break, but I've lost it now in the melee here. Supply is all we need. Three large developments refuse planning this week. Unreal.
No, it's not that simple.
Okay, it's not that simple. We'll come back to that in a moment. Every time a good social affordable housing scheme gets the go-ahead, people start protesting. We're all for a solution, but please, somewhere else, this area is not suitable. I got my mortgage through Rebuilding Ireland and at a very reasonable interest rate. Several of my friends and relatives have successfully gotten their mortgages through the same scheme. There is progress, but this scheme needs to be expanded. That's from Alan. And here's the angry text. What is the cost per unit to build all of these houses? Over 60% of all local authority houses are in rent arrears. I don't know, is that an accurate figure? There is no rental crisis outside of Dublin. Again, I'm not sure that's accurate.
Not true.
Public transport crisis outside Dublin the past 30 years. No word about that because it doesn't affect spoiled, self-entitled Dublin set populated by journalists, says James.
Well, there's a fair point there that's mentioned in relation. You can't talk about housing without talking about infrastructure, like public transport infrastructure. Nessa's mentioned schools. We look at our train service. We look at, you know, all our bus networks and that. And that's a massive frustration. I think the SHD process, which is the fast track planning process, has actually ignored a lot of that. And I certainly know in the northern part of the city and county where we've seen thousands of apartments being granted permission, most of them built to rent, I might add, which I've raised serious concerns about and being leased back from councils at exorbitant rates. We've seen nothing about the infrastructure coming in, and that's a genuine concern. One of your texters mentioned people objecting to social and affordable. I don't see that much, and I think one of the reasons is, to be very honest, I'm glad I don't, is that we need to see more of it. And I think like the O'Coolan model and others, which have been done before, that people want their sons and daughters to be able to rent affordably, purchase affordably, and to do that. And if they see their own land, state-owned land, being utilised to the best of in a productive way, most people aren't going to have a difficulty about it. But the infrastructure piece, and your texter is right about regional developments in the countries, about looking away from the lurch towards Dublin and the Greater Dublin area, is a big issue for us because congestion is massive in the city and county, the Greater Dublin area.
Yeah, just on the planning, we've put in four applications. two of them went straight through without any objection, not through the supposedly fast track one. One of them will be held up because there is an appeal to the board by about 4 months, but that's okay. And the other one is going through, was just a request for further information from the council, but that's okay. So I actually don't have any objections about the planning process at all. Can I come back to land just for 1 second again? Okay, it's just a notion.
Because we do always come back to land.
Yeah,
don't we?
Well, absolutely, because it is the key. But like a lot of our state bodies and our local authorities, they look on land as a commodity or as an asset, and if they are selling it, they feel that they have to get the highest price. And there may be even some statutory obligation for this. I'm not actually sure. But I want them to change the way they think about land. I want them to think about it as a resource to be used in the best interest of the community,
it's
whether it's for housing or whether it's for
a public good.
It's the public good, yeah. Exactly. And if you can just change that mentality,
we could probably pinpoint the date round about 1997, where we stopped thinking about housing as a public good,
but can I say
and
this?
a social good, and started thinking of it as some way to make
no,
money.
Here's our problem. You see, and the Kenny report was the first of five reports on this very question, because what's happened with the housing market since the late 1960s is you have a spike of investment, which is generally speculative investment that pushes up land prices, pushes up affordability. The political system gets itself in a kerfuffle. A report is done. We had two Oireachtas reports. We had a NESC report. We had various other ones. And then all the recommendations get ignored, right? So the crucial thing is, first of all, the principle is right. This is a public good, and therefore it has to be utilised in the best public interest. But can I say another thing? Don't let anybody tell you that the housing crisis is either a Dublin phenomenon or an urban phenomenon. So I did about 22 events recently all around the country, going into local authority areas and talking to people. There were public events around the housing crisis. And every time I went in, I looked at a number of things. What's happened to rents in that county? What's happened to house prices? What's happened to waiting lists? What's happened to? And everywhere you went, Donegal is probably the only exception in the state. Rents have gone up about 40%. House prices have gone up about 25%. Some of the biggest spikes in rental inflation have been in Sligo, have been in Louth, have been in Roscommon, have been in Leitrim. Now, they may have started from a low base, but people are earning lower wages or people have less access to infrastructure. So while the crisis is most acute in our heavy urban areas, we have a housing crisis of different proportions and different levels right across the state. And particularly for young people, because renting is such a big issue, is that the dramatic increases in rents, particularly outside of the commuter belt, has been the most pronounced feature of recent years. So I'm not saying that there isn't an additional level of pressure here. And on the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan, because this is really important, right? It's a really good product. Local authority loans have existed for a century and they're a really, really good thing. And the interest rate on the current loan is fantastic.
Here's the problem.
Is that in Dublin, the average loan offering is 200,000. And in fact, in Dublin City, the average loan offering is 188,000 because of the way the rules are. So the loan works where you can get access to the credit and the house prices in that area match it. So, for example, if you look at Dublin City Council, South Dublin County Council, where I am, the vast majority of people who are applying are either getting an insufficient offer or they're not able to draw it down because it doesn't match the price. So there has to be a separate focus.
That's why we need an affordable purchase scheme.
Bringing down the price of houses.
Exactly.
And the Oculo model is one key element of that.
But the affordable purchase scheme, or I'll ask you this because this comes up again and again. Does it just put more money in the pockets of
no,
the developers?
No, it doesn't.
I think we're starting from the wrong place.
What is to stop it going?
I think we're starting from the wrong place on some of that. We're starting from this is what developers want in the market and this is what they're charging and how do we subsidise that? That is, you know, the problem is far too big. The level of subsidy that would be required in Dublin now is more than 100,000 per family or per person buying, and the numbers of people who need it are phenomenal. I mean, well more than 50% of the people earning are under 50,000. The gap is far too big and the need is far too great. We cannot afford with these subsidy schemes. It just can't fill the gap.
Well, that's why.
So it has to go back to first principles, and I think we have to move away from a developer-led model. Mm-hmm. Planning is not the problem, and never was. There are 30,000 ready to go planning permissions in Dublin at the moment, any of which could be built tomorrow morning, and yet we're still persisting with loading more planning permissions.
And in fact,
which
only
is to do with land speculation. Let me say this:
only this week, a major developer got a substantial planning permission approved through
for
strategic housing development, and within a week put it on the market to sell. And it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, I voted against the SHD legislation because it was terrible. But if you're giving people fast track planning,
but
it should be a very simple
wasn't there a report that showed an extraordinary number of those
Sunday Business Post. And here's the deal. If you're going to have that model, and I don't like it, if you're going to have it,
I want to let Dara in
because it's use it or lose it. If they don't, I'd
like to go back to a point that Orla made, and she's 100% right. We're not just talking about it can't be affordable purchase driven by market price less a discount. And that's not what Fianna Fáil have proposed. What you're looking at is the shared ownership model where a state takes an equity in a home and utilising the state-owned land that we have, like what will be done in Fingal and other places. And we can actually do it, and it can be done very quickly. And it can also get, Orla's mentioned regularly, the small boats approach to get the smaller and medium builders back in the market. This is a way of actually getting them back in and engage. And that's also coupled with raising the cap to 6 million to let, to empower local authorities to build public housing too.
Okay, Richard, you've been trying to get in for a while.
I have. Look, I mean, for those who get the Rebuilding Ireland home loan and are lucky enough to get it, of course they're delighted with it, but it is a solution. No, and what we don't want to get back to is the thing where people are indebted up to their eyeballs paying excessive prices for houses that are too expensive. We need to bring down the cost, make it affordable, and that primarily will be done by building public and affordable housing for on a not-for-profit basis on public land. But I did want to just respond to one other myth, if you like, that came in one of your texts, and that is that local authority housing doesn't wash its own face in terms of rents and financially. That's just not true, okay? And we need to hammer that myth. In Dunleary Rat Down last year, there was 11 million in revenue came in from the local authority housing stock in Dunleary. The maintenance costs were only 7, right? So it made 6 million euro in profit. Now, if we expand, that's as against massive losses of public money going out in HAPS and RAS schemes.
Okay, I'm going to have to go to my last break there. I'm just thinking, yourself are nodding at each other's policies there. I'm talking to Darragh O'Brien and Owen O'Brien there, nodding along to each other's policies in relation to pricing. Would you not just get a room and sort this out?
Well, I think that then you have to look at how you're going to pay for it. And I think that's where the big difference is between our policies and Owen's.
Okay. We have to pay for this with ads anyway, so we'll go to our last break now.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And we're way over time. I just want to thank my panel tonight. A really interesting discussion. I want to formally ask you all back and continue this discussion because there's plenty more to talk about. Tonight's programme was produced by Brian Lally. Research was by Abby Philburn-Bowman. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon and Nikki Dempsey was on sound. And I hand over a slight bit late to Carl Murray on Late Date.